So, good morning, Manal. One more
Good
time.
morning. Good morning.
So, I'm going to say just a couple of words about you and what you're going to be talking about today. So, Manal is an embodiment and movement coach and facilitator trained in different disciplines, including conscious dance, leadership embodiment, embodied yoga principles, to name just a few. She's an advocate for mental health, holistic well-being, and social and environmental responsibility. And today she's going to talk to us about what leaders can learn from embodied parenting and how actually this role of a parent and a leader collide, what they can learn from each other. So, very warm welcome, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jana. Thank you. It's always interesting to hear, someone talk about what I'm doing. So thank you very much, and thank you for everyone who's joining us. If you could put in the chat where you're from, or my first question would be, the parents who are here, and this session is open for everyone, not just parents, but I'm curious to see to know the attendees. If you're a parent, if you want to share how many people you have, how many kids you have. They are little people, maybe smaller people, and maybe some of you would have adult children. Sharing the chat, how many kids do you have? And for you, what makes Oh, China one boy. What makes a good parent? And there's no right or wrong answer. Just, a thought of toddler doesn't. Yes, that's what toddlers do. I personally have. It's funny also when I say have. I birthed two children. They're 13 and 15. And I always, last few years, when I say how old they are, I'm just marveled of, wow, I'm a parent for all that long. And it's an interesting, certainly an interesting ride. Well, so let me share a little bit about myself first. So I come from, conscious dance movement, technique, and, movement facilitation. And when I started coaching about 6 or 7 years ago, I started with health coaching and moving a little bit out of that into leadership coaching. And I did many trainings in leadership trainings, whether embodiment or not, executive coaching, and all those things. And I always felt that it's a bit out of place. It's not, there's something that is not, I'm not connected with. And then I started on this, kind of search, and I'm thinking about what I'm good at, what my experiences are. And when I realized that big part of my life, at least the last 15 years, is being a parent, and I really know that territory very well. I know the ups and the downs and the doubts and all that. And I started reflecting on my own experiences. And I felt like what would I want to hear, would have wanted to hear before. I want to interrupt just a second. Jana, is everyone seeing my screen? Or is it, I just want to make sure.
Your screen right now.
Yeah, because when I'm talking, I'm seeing your screen.
Yeah, and we're seeing you actually.
Okay.
Don't see.
Okay. Perfect. That's my view. Okay, perfect. Okay. And then I realized that parenting is something that I'm really passionate about, even more than, business leadership. And I've asked the question earlier, and I invite you to put anything in the chat of when I say what makes a good parent. I know there's a lot of assumptions and judgments that we parents have, but you know what? When you see someone and you say, "Oh, they're a good parent," what are the qualities that that you think of that makes a good parent? I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. If you'd like to share, respectful. Listening to needs and discerning their wishes from their actual needs. Yes. I need that chocolate cake. I need to play two more hours on the computer. When I think of, you know, my cup is full so I can give. Oh, that's beautiful. Being heard. And to me, parenting, or at least the parent I aspire to be, is a good listener. Is a good listener, supportive, yet also available. That's, you know, absolutely true. Can make decisions, can plan, can be assertive, yet flexible at the same time. So all these qualities that pop up when I'm thinking of a good parent. And if I take it to a leadership perspective, whether it's you know, a business, you know, leader in a corporate environment, or even a political leader, or even community leaders, what qualities would also pop up in your head that makes you would say, "Oh, okay, this is a good leader. I'll willingly follow that person." And again, there's no one way of doing it. Who would you like your leader, you know, in a city or a country? Ideally, let's be idealistic here as well. Not talking about reality. So what makes a good leader? To me, similar things pop up. I want a leader who could be the same, confident, willing to acknowledge own mistakes, to have integrity, to be compassionate, challenging, flexible, respective, can, you know, can lead in crisis, can make decisions, can plan, all of these things. And when I look at the parallel between parenthood and, you know, being a parent and being a leader, it's essentially the same. And we are our kids' first leaders. Kids learn from what we do way more than what we say. So we're leading them. We even have this immense responsibility to model and help them co-create their own personality, their own way of being. That's what, you know, we are most of the time, at least. Parents are the first teachers. So with that, and finding that there are those, you know, very similar qualities. For me personally, it was sort of like, you know, the thing that is right on your tip of your nose that you can't see, but yet it's so obvious. Is that those two things. So I started looking at my leadership training and seeing how could these trainings and qualities and practices can help me be a better parent. And then I realized that the whole conversation of parents being leaders is almost non-existent. There's always, I feel, and please let me know in the chat if you agree or you see it otherwise, that the role of parents are many times minimized as something that either we already know how to do or that it's not important. So many people would say, yes, I'm the chairman of this and this company. I'm a writer. I've written 5 books. I'm whatever it is, the title that looks awesome and big, CEO, executive something, coach. And most of the time, the role of a parent is non-existent. There are a few people who proudly say, I'm a mother, I'm a father, but it's not, dare I say, not respected as a role. And it feels like, because I've spent many years as a stay-at-home mom, and I always had, you know, I wouldn't say, I'd love to see more. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Christina, for sharing that. I've always, not always, I'm not going to generalize, but many times I've seen these looks as like, oh, stay-at-home mom, so you're not a productive member of society. And being a stay-at-home mom is a choice that I made. And I was very lucky to be able to have made that choice. And it informed me and transformed me in so many ways. But it's still a choice that I know many parents can't make. And many parents can't make because in different cultural contexts, it's not something that, you know, it's not something you do. You're a parent. We all are parents. So, and it's something that would be a second nature, which is the complete opposite. Anyone who is a parent and allow themselves that self-reflection and desire to be the parent they want to be for their kids understands fully that parenting is like any other skill that we need to dig in ourselves, transform ourselves, practice. It's some things we maybe instinctually know that's what parents do, but many times they're not. So I feel I've talked a lot. And as this is the Embodiment Conference, I invite you to take a little bit of few seconds and move and find your own comfortable way of being. I can't see you, but I'm trusting that you're taking care of yourself. So with all that history that I've just mentioned, I've started to look at parenting as cultivating leadership skills in parenting. And when this wonderful year of 2020 and the lockdown happened earlier this year, and it was a tough time for everyone, I started to reflect even more on this. I've already started to explore this topic of parenting coaching and how leadership skills can help parents. But with lockdown and the high stress level that we all been in, especially with our kids, and I know my heart goes to, you know, the parents with really young children, toddlers, who are, you know, their life is, you know, communicating with other people and they kindergarten and, you know, going outside, which when it was not possible, that was very hard. So the lockdown gave me a bigger, what they call the launch pad of what I've learned from my leadership training. And I'll share with you today what I feel like the most important skills that a parent have. And within a few months, I've, you know, fully wholeheartedly stepped into, yes, this is what I want to do, is embodied parenting coaching. And the funny, not so funny thing that I realized, and I also, if any of you would have a similar experience, please let me know, is that parenting is about me, the parent, like 99.9% of the time. You know, before becoming a parent and as my kids were younger, I've read maybe all the books. There's a lot of books, so I haven't read all of them, but I read many books about parenting, and it's many of them is about how to deal with the kids and as they grow and, you know, what's their development, which is all awesome and great. But what I didn't see, or maybe I wasn't ready to see, is that for me to be a good parent or a good enough parent is for me to know myself first. What do I need to do? How can I self-regulate myself? How I can inspire my children? So it's a lot of inner work. And that's something that I haven't heard before before becoming a parent or when my kids were younger, is it's about me. How I embody life is what my kids see. If I can regulate myself and take that time to rest and be in peace with my own self, then I could, you know, be a better parent. It's as simple as that for me. So self-regulation or centering or coming back to yourself, you could put any name to that. The word centering comes from martial arts, and it's used by a lot of the embodied leadership programs, like, you know, Wendy Palmer and even Richard Strozzi-Hettler, who are both presenting, and I'm quite excited to hear them, to listen to them, is that ability to take a breath, take a step back, and assess, to have that space and moment in time to respond instead of react. And I know I've reacted many times to things that my kids do, you know, what toddlers do, mess up the room, throw food on the table, slam the door, doing all these fun parenting stuff and what children do. And as I dug deeper into teachings of, you know, the nervous system and Dr. Dan Siegel and many of teachers, I became more convinced that it's really about me. And one of the things is that we are born as babies with no ability of self-regulation or self-soothing. And we learn that from our parents. And if a parent, like myself, when 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, actually, I don't have the ability to self-soothe or self-regulate when stress are high, when my kid is having a tantrum, then my expectation that they would be able to do that for themselves is almost out there. It's ridiculous. That it's, you know, if I cannot do this as an adult, how can they do that? So I found that centering, self-regulation, self-soothing is one of the best skills that, yes, everyone needs to learn, especially parents that, you know, maybe, you know, during pregnancy, that would be the number one thing that all parents practice. So I'll invite you to do a little bit of experiment, and please do exercise your own personal choice. If you are not ready to do this, or you're doing something else while you're doing that, you know, let that go and come back to it if you'd like to do it another time. So on a scale of 0 to 10, zero being something that is really nice and easy, life is good, nothing, there's no stress, and 10 being way too stressed and it's almost a chaos and maybe out of control from the stress. Choose something that it's 2 or 3 with, in the parenting domain, that could be something like something that ticks you off a bit, but it's not a big deal, that it's not, you know, a big stressor. You know, towels on the floor. Yeah, I have 2 boys, teenagers, and they seem to think that towels belong on the floor. Maybe the dirty dish under the bed. And play that scenario. It could be something that ticks you off. Perfect example, yes. Maybe it's something that ticks you off all the time or many times. And it creates a stress and dysregulation in you. And notice what your sensation with that, what your body reaction, what do you feel? Maybe notice your breathing, any tension in your body, shoulders, any thoughts that comes with it. It's like, oh my goodness, I know almost all parents say that. How many times, how many million times I've said da 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 da. And maybe try to find a solution at that point with, you know, with that annoyance of, okay, no computer for the rest of the day. And when you have a bit of information that you got from recalling this mildly stressful experience, with that, I'll invite you to come into a place of self-regulation. So you could totally choose to close your eyes or keep them open, whatever feels suitable for you. Sense your contact with the floor. Maybe it's your feet on the ground, your back on the couch. And let your jaw soften, shoulders. And bring to mind something that makes your heart smile. Maybe for you, it's the beach, maybe it's a clean house, a cup of coffee, anything that gives you feelings like, ah, I love that. And now bring that back, that stressor, that annoying thing that your kid or someone else does and ticks you off and creates that level 3 stress in you. Notice if there is any difference in your relationship with that experience. And there, maybe at this time, there's no difference whatsoever. Any solutions that pop up that you haven't thought before? To me, when my experience with this is, I feel that there's a distance, and I don't know if that's your experience. Trust your own experience. Each one of us is different and will have a different, possibly different reaction. But for me, it's that space of whatever is happening in front of me. It's not personal, it's not in me. So it's like, okay. There's that bit of a distance that enables me to, yeah, to see like, okay, so let me see what I can do with this situation. Yes, it is annoying, but I can find excuses like, oh, he's only five, he can't do this. And this place of connectedness, I feel I'm connected with who I am, with my own essence. And I feel a sense of calm, regulated. And it reminds me also of the times that I wasn't. And with, you know, with practice of coming back to center and taking a breath and working with my own self-regulation first, I was able to come to a space where I can compare my own kid's reaction. And we're talking about leadership as well. You could, you know, give that a try if you're with your colleagues, with your boss, with your employees, of having like, okay, so let me come back to my center and re-examine this. And when I'm successfully able to do this amidst the chaos of a tantrum or a struggle, I can sense that my kid's reaction, my child's reaction is also different. When I'm anxious and I'm reactive and I'm screaming and I'm exploding, they don't calm down. Anyone had the experience of like, go to bed? And anyone listens? No, they don't. Maybe they kind of have a freeze and just retreat to their room, but they're not listening. So with that, me creating my own self-regulation as an adult, ideally we are supposed to be doing that most of the time with our kids. And with that, I'm not only doing myself a favor, I'm moving from a reaction to a response. I'm also teaching my child how to do this to themselves. As I mentioned earlier, babies, we're born with no ability of self-regulation. We are dependent on our parents to learn that. So there's a co-regulation. And I think, you know, many people can relate to the baby crying and the parent holding them up and soothing them, and they kind of stop that cry and go back into a blissful sleep. And that's essentially what we're doing with these. So when there's conflict of tantrum and my own stress response is high, and my own pattern is to go to a fight response, I am also dysregulating my child. So if, with the skill of self-regulation and coming back to myself, I am allowing myself to take a step back, and I'm allowing them to also first to learn how to do it, and probably they can't name it, but kids know when there's something wrong. They have that sense of, oh, this person is safe, this person is not safe. Especially the younger they are, they know when someone is upset. When it comes to breastfeeding, mothers are always encouraged to be relaxed so the baby can relax and feed easily. So they sense it, even if they don't have the words for it, but their nervous system gets triggered and dysregulated because of that. And when I say this, I really encourage you to put that, you know, if any guilt about, not doing that for ourselves and our kids to the side. I think as parents, we could, we already have a lot of guilt somehow, some way. It peaks. And if we try to get out of it, we'll find someone in our community or on the news, on Instagram telling us, no, this is how you should be doing. What you're doing is absolutely wrong. So maybe I've took a long time to talk about the self-regulation, but I think, and I know, and this is from personal experience, is once I was able to center myself, to regulate myself, my children's behavior started to change. So I can, if that's the only thing I'm gonna ever be teaching in life, that would be worth it. But I wanna come to a second aspect of parenting that is very similar to what leaders can learn. And because, you know, when we talked about parenting, there's a lot of listening, inclusive, supportive, all these qualities that we want to have, and decision-making and assertiveness. And that brings me to the presence. And the program that I've created is Parenting with Presence, as in how we as parents know ourselves and become the parent we want to be. And when I talk about presence, there are two sides of it in the way I see it. And I'll go ahead and stand up. You could remain seated. You could stand up, do what works for you. And with presence, there's two sides, if I may say. If you could bring your hands out and again, you can close your eyes and keep them open. Come to that center of sensing your feet on the ground. Your shoulders relax. And extending your arms out as if creating a circle. And notice what that is to you, to have a presence and inclusiveness of a parent. It might, for me personally at least, could be challenging of being in the space with our children, listening, connecting, allowing them to make their own mistakes and learn. And that to me gets harder and harder as they grow up. It's almost, there's a tiny, for me, bit of tilt to the back of allowing things to happen. And with the other side of, you know, presence that it's also much needed is the active. And if you could go ahead and just bring your hands together. And it's a focus of presence, of guiding them to move forward. Yet remaining in center where I have my feet grounded, in contact with the floor, my head is free and extended upward, connecting with my own personal power as a parent, as a leader, and yet also including and having the space for my kids within and move forward. You could play and experience those two qualities of presence, of loose shoulders, standing tall yet inclusive and opening up. And learning when this is my role as a parent right now is to be open and inclusive and in a space with my kids. And when it's time to be active in doing, telling them, no, that's what you need to do. I'm the parent. And it's my responsibility to keep you safe. And how do I see myself in this role? I'll tilt a bit here. Have that triangle, sort of. When you're ready, shake it out a bit. And maybe give it a little shake. Let's come back and see if you have any questions, any comments, if anything relates to your own experience as a parent or as a leader. And I'd like to acknowledge my teachers. This the circle and the triangle comes from Wendy Palmer, Leadership Embodiment. And Wendy is presenting at the conference, and so some of her students. And also in the last 6 months, I've been learning a lot from Dan Siegel about parenting. And one of my favorite books at the moment is The Power of Showing Up. I'll put it in the chat.
There's also one of the sort of questions in a chat box. What about the role of the step parent?
And I think when it comes to parenting, there is any caretaker would be the same thing. Now the step parent, it depends on the relationship. I am not a step parent, so I don't have a lived experience with that. But from the people I've talked about this, some see it as a nice spot of being yet an adult figure. And that was, you know, both parents were, you know, alive and involved in the child's life. So she was like, she loves being a stepmom because she is an adult figure, but she's not a, you know, an immediate parent. So there's a different kind of relationship. But all these skills that I've mentioned, centering self-regulation, having a presence of receptivity and action, are, you know, applicable to any relationship. You could do these experiments with, you know, as I mentioned, at work, with your friends, in any relationship. It's a life skill, and that's why parenting is knowing, you know, it's what I'm doing with my own self. It's a self-development experience. And what I'm teaching right now is, yes, it's for parents because that's the context of the experience I'm talking about, but it's a self-development journey. It's, you know, required, you know, it's self-awareness. If I have no idea what kind of a parent, if I have no idea what I'm doing right now, then how can I make decisions on what the kind of parent I want for my kids, I want to be for my kids, or what decisions work for me or not? About self-knowing, about self-understanding, self-compassion. When we make mistakes, and we will be making mistakes. And I love Dan Siegel when he talks about this. He doesn't say, if you make a mistake or if you fall short, he says when, because that's inevitable. It happens. So all these things that goes within us and in our own personal space that is within, we need, for myself, I needed, and I still do need to figure it out. How am I dealing with my own self in order to be able to deal with those around me, mainly children? There's a question. Holding space for it. Well, the question is about, you know, holding space for the child or to be assertive. Any qualities that we want to develop is like, would need practice, would need training, would need conscious and intentional choice in what do we do. What we do, what we practice, is what we become. It's really difficult to just make a mental decision that I'm going to do this. And not practice. It's like deciding one day I'm going to run a marathon because I've watched a lot of videos and I've read 3 books about how to run a marathon, but I never put down those shoes and trained for it. So any quality that we want to have, there's also sometimes the expectations that a parent would know what to do, would be good at, you know, this quality. And generally, will all of us have, you know, some qualities that we're good at and qualities that maybe would need to do some tweaking and some practicing. So any qualities we want to intentionally have and include in our relationship with others is something that we need to practice. We need to find the practices that helps us lead to have the embodied experience of that quality. My experience with wanting my kid to learn how to be calm was contradictory with how my embodiment was. I was a very stressed parent, and I'm like, this needs to happen, and you have to eat your vegetables, and you have to, well, brush your teeth and do well at school. And I was a really stressed parent. So with time and the thing of changing habits and changing our own, we can easily maybe change a state. So when we did the little experiment with softening, connecting with the ground and with our breath, it's a state change that we could feel momentarily good after, but to have a lasting effect or lasting change, and to be able to embody these qualities under stress, it has to be an embodied practice that we sit and intentionally do day after day. So I hope I answered that question with a very long answer. We could keep the questions going. I could keep talking about this. And the experience that I get from people I talk to, and my clients is like, yeah, that realization of parenting is an inside job, is quite profound. And the same thing goes to leaders, whether in a business environment or any context. A leader would have to know what they want to do, what they are doing to be able to choose. They should be able to do all these things. And I think for me, this parenting topic is quite an important part of life that we need to acknowledge more. And we need, you know, to say that it is hard. And I find that especially for mothers with young kids, it is really hard job, and it's not easy to do it alone. It's not meant, honestly, to be done alone. The saying is like, it takes a village to raise a child is true, you know. And I understand that not everyone is privileged and able to provide, you know, that environment for their kids. Single parents are doing the best they can. And that's maybe what I would like to end with, especially, is that, you know, the good enough parent, that we are trying to do it. We're trying to figure out how to navigate this territory of being a parent, but acknowledging that it is difficult and we need to seek help. We need to ask, look for guidance. We need to acknowledge that it's not something I can do well. And this is, you know, another thing, you know, yeah, this is the parent I want to be. So other noise that comes up, it's like, okay, I'm gonna do this thing, and I don't have to be everything. You know, it's not the perfect parenting. There's no such thing as perfect parent. Well, other than saying, you know, there are two parts of it, you know, because I understand there's always this parent guilt that, first of all, it's normal that we make mistakes. It's not supposed to be a stress or conflict free relationship. You know, the secure attachment that a lot of people talk about, and I mentioned again, Don Siegel, he's, you know, a researcher, it's not a conflict-free relationship. What matters is correcting it. It's correcting the mistakes and trying to do better. And I, you know, from my experience and those around me, kids know when you're trying to do better. They see it. They empathize with that. So, you know, feeling guilty, it is a way of life. That's how it happens. Each relationship would have a rupture. We want to focus on the repair. And it's never too late. It's never too late to do any of these things, to self-improve, to self-reflect and say, oh, I want to do better. It's never too late to communicate with our kids and cultivate the relationship. So I started in the beginning with, you know, when the lockdown happened and we're forced to stay in one home, I realized that the number one important thing for me as a parent is the relationship. And that is a give and take. It's a receptivity and action. And learning how to have that dance of when do I take action and when do I step back and allow is a skill that can only be developed with practice and time and downfall and failure and doing it 1 out of 10 times, then improving and doing it better. So that's how it is. And so yes, guilt might come up. And like any other emotion and feeling that that exists, we don't need to be attached to it. So I thank you very much for joining me today. This has been delightful, and I had to kind of put it down into hopefully precise and actionable experiences that you can take. And you could contact me if you'd like, and happy to share more. I think we're on time, Jonna, right? Yep.
Yes, we're very much on time. Thank you so much. I think we all enjoyed very much this presentation, and I really have to share something that you said is going to stay with me. How I embody life is what my kids see. That's such a beautiful statement. And thank you very much for sharing all the other beauties here with us in this presentation. So for all the participants, you've got the links in the chat box regarding the coffee breaks, regarding the Facebook, where we kindly invite you to continue the discussion. You've got Manal's website link and also the link for our sponsor, channel sponsor. I'd like to remind you that you have this presentation available for 48 hours after today, and that you can go to the conference website to buy recordings, which will enable you to own the library and digest in your own time. It will be a thank you to us, and it will also enable everybody else to access it for free live. So do consider that opportunity, because there's a lot of content and you want to digest that at your own pace and in your own time. So one final thing from you, Manal, what's your top tip on how to stay or be more embodied?
To me, what is alive to me these days is rest and trust. Sit back and rest in that trust that it's all going to be okay.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much. And also don't forget to join us for the next session in this channel. It's going to be Thea Allison with Embodying Magic as a Leader of Life and Business. Thank you, everyone. And we will close with this.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Jonna. And thank you. Take host.
Thanks, everyone. Goodbye. Yeah.